And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the battle for mindshare in the American mind. Each of my guests is exploring how the American mindshare has been subverted by incomplete facts. My next guest examines the strong relationship between sex and religion throughout the Greek, Roman, and Christian eras. We'll discuss his latest book, When Sex Was Religion. And if you have any questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Larry Falls, a PhD, is an internationally recognized in the field of sexology and erotology. He has presented his work at scientific conferences throughout North America and Europe. Larry is a registered specialist in sexual abuse, human trauma, and emotional health. He is a member of the American College of Sexologists and is listed in the archives and the Hall of Heroes at the Erotic Heritage Museum, where else? Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome, Larry. How are you today?
Thank you very much. Quite well, thank you.
Good. Well, thanks for coming on, and thank you for being our special guest. Talking about a subject that really is not thought of very much, and that's the relationship between sex and religion. We've sort of lost that connection. We'll talk about that later. But in your book, you assert that there's a strong relationship between sex and religion throughout the ages. So kind of explain human sexuality's influence on the origins of religion, if you will, please.
Okay, that's very important to understand, because in the beginning, now make believe that we go way back in the beginning of time, say during the time of Adam and Eve, when life was very short. People died at a very early age. Women would die giving birth to children. Animals would attack, danger from enemies, natural disasters. So life was very short, and there was a mystery in regards to what created life. No one at that time knew the biology, but they thought there was some type of magical influence that would create life. So in that sense, that mystery was considered some powerful force, or given the name of God. And it was that mystery that created religion, because it was believed that if you showed respect to this special force, you would be rewarded. And because life was so important and the importance of reproduction, it led to the aspect of religion. As a matter of fact, the symbolism of God, the first thing that God said to Adam and Eve basically was, or it was reiterated through the Old Testament, go forth and multiply.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the phrase from the Bible that I was thinking of as you were giving that answer. That is almost a commandment, go forth and multiply. So all of this relationship between sex and our human species really revolves around our ability to reproduce ourselves, and that was the basic fundamental beginning of religions as we know them?
Yeah, that was part of the fundamental belief system. The other part was a promise for the afterlife. In those days, because life was short, it was believed that people would live once they die as well. As a matter of fact, the ancient Israelites never buried their dead because they thought that sooner or later a person would return, the soul would return. It was felt that when you go to sleep at night, your spirit would leave your body, and in the morning it would return. Thusly, as time went on, it was believed that if you didn't wake up over a period of time, your body would be held in the home waiting for the spirit to return. So again, it was that promise of an afterlife as well as the importance of reproduction. And that's where we get the concept of heaven, which is pretty easy to understand why people felt that people would return after death. Because anyone who's listening knows that when you lose a loved one, it's not unusual to dream about them or see them in dreams or having visions of them, which to the ancients, they didn't understand the difference between dreams and reality. So it was believed that, yes, they'll come back to Earth, or yes, they are in heaven.
My guest is Dr. Larry Falls. Larry, and in your book, you go on to further describe this a little bit more. You talk about sexual pleasure and phallic symbols having a relationship with religion. So what does sexual pleasure and phallic symbols have in common with religions?
Okay, the phallic symbol itself is basically, how can I describe it? It's a symbol of reproduction. It's a symbol of the sex organs per se. And watching animals reproduce, watching humans reproduce, it was believed that, you know, humankind was reproduced the same way as animals. And to be able to understand the power of the sex organs, you had to worship it. As a matter of fact, if you look at ancient art, and especially the if you look at coffins and the pyramids and things of that nature, on the face of it, they usually had a carving of an erect phallus. But unfortunately, they were removed because it was believed it was not acceptable. But you can see the maple leaves on statues, for example, of David, so on and so forth. You see a leaf covering the genital area, the genital area where in the past it was displayed proudly because it was something to be proud of, something that was extremely important, and something that was more or less holy. You did not fool around with those, with the sex organs in those days. It was considered too sacred, and the only time it was considered appropriate to deal with those organs was when you were either married or in the process of procreation through religious services and programs.
All right, Larry. My guest is Dr. Larry Falls, author of the book When Sex Was Religion. And I guess, Larry, that brings us to the most important point of your book, is how and when did shame and guilt become associated with sex? I mean, if sex was such an important part of early people's lives, when did the guilt, when did the shame enter in?
Well, first of all, you have to look at, in the beginning was phallic worship. And that meant that everything you did was related to sex. Now, because of the mentality of the ancients, they didn't understand the difference between right and wrong when it came to sexual activity. Everything was supposedly a satisfaction to the gods at that time. So as a result, with the introduction of Christianity, in the beginning, of course, when the first introduction of Christianity, they took all the phallic gods and turned it into something that was more gross and to be abused and so on and so forth. But with the introduction of the Christian faith, of Catholicism, it was believed that sexual activity was a sin, period. Even procreation was not acceptable. The great philosophers in the ancient times spent a great deal trying to find out how they could prevent people from having sexual intercourse, and considering it a great sin, because it was believed that everybody was born in sin, number one, and that if you want to have a true relationship with God, you do not have any form of sexual contact whatsoever, because it takes away your attention from your focus on God.
All right, now that's an interesting belief that you believe it came in with the Catholic Church. I want to go back and ask a question, because so much of what you write about revolves around the phallus, and the phallus is clearly a male sexual symbol for the male sexual organ. But the question is, you know, we men are very proud of ourselves in that way. Still, because of male, it seems to be so male-oriented, can you give me some examples of religions that are female-oriented that might not be worshiping the phallus, that kind of thing, that are more female-oriented in their beliefs?
Well, the original goddesses believe that in order to have a closeness to God, you have to engage in sexual intercourse. All the goddesses were representative of a female deity. And in order to have a good relationship with the deity, you had to have intercourse with these, at that time, temple prostitutes, which would bring you next to God. Now, it's interesting, because a lot at the time were forced into being temple prostitutes as well. A lot of these young ladies were forced into being temple prostitutes to represent the god. But in the beginning, now I have to get back to the beginning of religion and how it evolved. How did ladies get involved after that? First of all, the first concept of God, it was believed that God was bisexual or androgynous. In other words, it was male and female in one body. Later on, it evolved into God being female, because only the female could reproduce. So therefore, the goddesses who represented the goddess, or the prophetess who represented the goddess, would have sexual intercourse as an initiation process for the men to become next to God.
Well, that sounds like a very good entry system. I want to sign up for that. My guest is Dr. Larry Falls. He is author of the book, When Sex Was Religion. And we're talking about the relationship, the close relationship between sex and religion throughout history. So, Larry, let me just fire off some ideas, some questions that I have about this interrelationship between sex and religion, things that are head-scratchers to me. You mentioned, one, the temple prostitutes that certain religions had in the early going. How about the practice of virgin sacrifice? I mean, you know, you've got the virgin, clearly a sexual orientation there, and yet murder and sacrificing that virgin. So how does virgin sacrifice kind of cross the borders between sexuality and religion?
Well, that's very interesting, because when you're looking at human sacrifice, you're looking at sacrifice of both men and women. However, with men, it was a little different, because with the sacrifice to the gods of the men were killed. They were like put to death, where with the women, the sacrifice was the sacrifice of their virginity to the god, so that these women would become more fertile. So as a result, the phallic was developed to insert into these ladies to no longer let them remain virgins as we understand it today, to release the blood and make the woman more willing to have sexual intercourse without pain with the men. Now, that was a virgin sacrifice. A classic example I can give is related to the story of the Virgin Mary having sex with the Holy Ghost. A representative of the god visited Mary so that he could open her womb. That was symbolic. In reality, what happened, every single woman was expected to have their womb opened by either a family member or by a priest or by some foreigner to ensure that that woman would be capable of reproduction. That would be the virgin sacrifice and sacrifice of women to the god. As you can see, it's significantly different from the sacrifice of women and the sacrifice of men. Men were killed. Women, their sexuality was sacrificed to the god.
An interesting dichotomy there. Talk to me about serpent worship, which even goes on today here in the United States. Talk to me about the crossover there between the sexuality and the religion in serpent worship.
Okay, the serpent worship was considered a god in the beginning for the simple reason that if you decapitate a serpent, it would live. You would see the muscles move around, and they would move. The nerve endings would remain mobile for quite a bit. So as a result, the same way with a tortoise as well, if you cut the head off a tortoise, you can see the limbs move. So to the ancients, it was believed that these serpents were immortal. They could not die. As a consequence, they were considered to be a god, and they would be worshipped as a god. As a matter of fact, when you look at the story of Moses, he used the rod was turned into a serpent.
That's
the
right.
Serpent was turned into a rod. The story of Moses in the Bible.
Yes, that's right. I mean, that's an amazing amazing parallel there. So, what do you make from that?
Well, even in North America, you can see symbols of the serpent, because it was considered to be immortal. It's an immortal god, but at the same time, it's, you know, people were fearful of the serpent as well. So it was not only a symbol of a good god; it was also symbolic of the evil god or of the devil.
All right. Well, my guest is Dr. Larry Falls. We're talking about his book, When Sex Was Religion. Let's take it outside of Christianity for just a moment and take a look at some Eastern religions, the Karma Sutra and Indian religions from the subcontinent of India. They have, seems to me, a very close relationship between sexuality and religion. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. And it was believed that having sexual intercourse with anything, everything and everything, basically, including animals, was believed that it was a sacred thing. It would be satisfactory to the gods. You would please the gods by having sexual intercourse. And the reason for that is because to have intercourse with anything on this planet would be duplicating what was believed to be the activity of God. Now, how do you explain that? Well, let me explain this. in the beginning, it was believed. The reason why was because the ancients believed that everything on Earth was created by intercourse between the sun and the moon, spreading polythic principles on the planet Earth. So therefore, those polythic principles, which was believed to be part of God, infiltrated every living thing on this planet. And therefore, to have relations with everything on that planet was to have relations with God.
All right, that makes sense. My guest is Dr. Larry Falls. Larry, let's take a look at another practice that has a relationship between sex and religion, and that is witchcraft. Talk to me about that, because we had the Salem witch trials here in the United States. Witchcraft has been demonized, if you will, throughout Europe. Talk to me about the relationship there.
Okay, the most important thing to remember about witchcraft was that these people were basically innocent, and it was believed that they had some type of magical power that would put a curse on others. And that's one of the reasons why the witchcraft trials existed, although that was related to the Inquisition at the time, with the persecution of anyone who had contradictory beliefs to the church. Now, witches in general, it was even described by some of the inquisitors that a lot of these witches were innocent women who only wanted to do good for their fellow man, but it was considered evil because they did not comply with the doctrine of the church at that time. Devil worship, for example, was the same thing. The devil was basically the equivalent to God, except that he was on the dark side, God was on the good side. The witches themselves also included men, but for some unknown reason, a real witch would only be a woman. But women had magical powers, which people could not understand. That's one of the reasons why they were considered witches, because they had powers that no men had.
All right. My guest is Dr. Larry Falls, whose book is When Sex Was Religion. Larry, what do you want readers to take away from reading When Sex Was Religion?
I think the most important thing is to recognize the fact that sexual exploitation is as big today as it was in the past. Even among religious sectors, there are certain religious groups who seem to think that they can have a number of wives and children to give birth without considering the fact that this is not proper and it's not real religion. What it is sexual exploitation by old men who think they can control people by using their own philosophy without looking at the real facts of life. If we can understand the importance of respect and consideration for women and stop the sexual exploitation, then you will have learned something out of the book.
Well, that's a very good lesson to take away. My guest has been Dr. Larry Falls, author of the book When Sex Was Religion. Larry, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Okay, my website is www.whensexwasreligion.net.
When Sex Was Religion.net, not a .com, but a .net. Larry, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much for getting in touch.
Thank you.